I'm waiting on the Sunday when Lady Thomas is done praying and she ain't got to say 1, 2, 3. That y'all already giving God y'all best prayer. Y'all know what she gonna do. She do it every week. I'm waiting for that Sunday when y'all just come in on fire and say, I'm giving God my best. She ain't got to tell me. I don't need nobody to tell me nothing this Sunday. God been too good for me. Amen and amen. So welcome you all. Welcome to New Creation Church. Thank you for being with us this morning as we're wrapping up our series, He's Intentional. Can you please stand for the reading for God's word? All who are able, please stand as we get ready for God's word. I'm going to have a quick word of prayer. We're going to jump into it. Father God, I thank you, oh God, for this week, for this series. I pray today, Father God, that we learn something new. I pray, oh God, that our spirits are encouraged. I pray, Father God, that you have your way in our lives. You know what we stand in the need of, oh God. Help us to trust you, your timing, and your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Jeremiah 29:11, a very familiar piece of scripture. We want to make sure we have it in context. Jeremiah 29:11. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, and it reads as follow. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
Thank you, God.
The plans, they are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Period. I'm going to put the period on there. Amen. I like that. I'm going to say it again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster or evil, but to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Today we're going to finish, amen, God's plan part 2. And if I had to put a tag on it, I would say intentional restoration. Amen. We went from intentional disobedience last week to intentional restoration. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's been often said that if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. It's also been said that man plans and God laughs. The first statement is so true because I believe all of us should have a plan or a vision of how we want our life to go. Yeah, I believe that if you plan on being a doctor, you should plan on going to college and then med school and then have a residency somewhere, right? If you plan on being a beautician, you should go to cosmetology school until you're a licensed professional. Whatever you decide to do in your life, you have to plan it out and make sure you're taking the steps to bring that plan to pass. But on the flip side, we live in a world where God's plans trumps our plans. Yeah, we can plan to do certain things and have a desire and want to do certain things, but some things just are not God's will for our life. Doesn't mean we don't plan, doesn't mean we don't try, but we got to understand that God's will reigns supreme. In the last sermon of this series, Jeremiah, it would be in the book of Jeremiah, he's been just used and abused. The prophet in Jeremiah is coming once again to relay a message to his people. He's relayed so many messages. He's been whipped. He's been beaten. He's been put in stocks. All because he's speaking God's truth, y'all. He's been through it and through it and through it. So this time he's writing a letter. 29 where he's writing a letter, but I'm going to bring you to 29 real quick. And chapter 22, you got to understand what's going on. Jeremiah has given a prophecy to Jerusalem and Judah, these two kingdoms. The kingdom of Israel has split. 10 tribes went one way and 2 tribes went another way. So he says, look here, it's about to be over. King Nebuchadnezzar is coming. Babylon about to run havoc on all this. We y'all didn't disobey God too much. It's over. He about to take over everything. So this is what I need y'all to do. His two kings, one of them, both of these kings are King Josiah's son. One name is Jehoaz. And he goes and he gets taken captive and he never returns. The king of Egypt comes. Egypt is still a powerhouse. And Nebuchadnezzar sends Egypt in to take King Jehoaz. So then Josiah has another son, right? His name is Jehoiakim. He has 2 sons. He becomes the king as well. Why is this important? Because Josiah is the important king of the Bible.
Yeah.
Josiah is the youngest king in the Bible.
Yeah.
When he was 8 years old, he became king. And he's seen so much wickedness in Israel. He's seen them worshiping idols. Wow. He's seen the people loving pagans. The word of God was not looked at. It was not honored. He says, this is wrong. I need people to set up laws to get things right. He's 8 years old. So he's the youngest king in the Bible. And he turns Israel's hearts back to God. Wow. But then he has 2 sons who are not on that. He has 2 sons that are doing what they want to do. They're living in a world where it's like, let me make a bargain with God. God, I do love you, but I love this too. So let me go ahead and give you this, but let me do this. I love you a little bit over here. I love you, but let me get this. Let me keep my favorite sin, but I'm going to get you over here. They're trying to bargain with God. Look at what he says. Jeremiah 22:15. This is Jeremiah talking to the king. But a beautiful cedar palace does not make a great king. Your father Josiah also had plenty to eat and drink, but he was just and right in all his dealings. This is why God blessed him. Oh,
my
man.
God.
I got to pause right there. I'm keeping a pastoral parenthetical right there. I got to stop and pause when Father Day's on his way. I love it. He says, look here, I get it. You got the castle. I get it. You balling out of control. But that does not make a great king. Ain't it a trip in society how we think if somebody got money, they great? Yeah, if they got money, we throw integrity out the way. We throw character out the way. We throw honesty. We throw loyalty out the way. If they got money. He says, look here, no, I know you a king, but you're not a great king. You're just a king because you have valuables, but your character is off. Your father had all you had, but he did what was right for before me. Ain't it a trip when you got the right father and you still doing what you want to do? Be careful, children, especially if you get. I want to get a shout out to all the brothers in here. I got some wonderful fathers in this place in New Creation Church. Shout out to all my brothers. But it's a trip when you got a father and you don't listen. When he there to speak into your life and you still doing whatever you want to do, he says, no, it's not going to work. So this king, he got so bad, Jeremiah told him that when you die, they're going to celebrate your death. They can't wait for you to leave. So chapters 23 through 28, we see a nation on the brink of destruction because of idolatry, stubbornness, and false prophets. So God is dealing with them. I can't go through every verse, but please, I hope y'all reading y'all spreads. I'm going back to Jeremiah. They're dealing with so much, and God deals with them. He says, look here, I know it's messed up. I know these false prophets came. I know it's jacked up, but I still got a remnant of a flock. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, y'all know what a remnant is. Amen. He says, I'm going to appoint shepherds because I still got a remnant. A remnant means I still got some people remaining. I love this because where it's foolishness, where it's chaos, where it's corruption, God still got the right people doing the right things. God going to always make sure some people there that love him for real, some people that's going to give him glory, some people that's going to tell his truth. So I love this. He said, I know it's jacked up, but I got some remnants that remains. I'm going to get the right people to them. So Jeremiah has been given this same message that they should repent, y'all. I know in the Bible when we read chapters, it seems fast, but it's been 23 years. Jeremiah, man, where we at? He's been 23 years, been telling them, stop the potter house, all that. 23, can you imagine somebody telling you something for 23 years and you still won't listen? Woo! Jeremiah is fed up, y'all. So in 25, Jeremiah prophecy, he goes before them and says, look here. You're going to be in Babylon captivity because you keep disobeying God. But it's going to be for 70 years.
Wow.
Then after that, God says, I'll punish Babylon for their sins. The same thing they did to y'all, I would do to them. But I got to get y'all straight. And one thing about God, he don't play about his people. Amen. I find it odd. It's amazing that God says, look here, I'm going to send King Nebuchadnezzar in to take away what y'all did, to destroy everything y'all had. But I'm still going to pay him back even though y'all wasn't loving me. I'm still going to get him back even though y'all wasn't on my side, because that's how I work. God is an amazing God. Okay. Egypt, when Joseph went to Egypt was blessed. When Moses showed up, they was cursed. Because you start doing my people wrong. So now I got to take care of you. You cannot live a blessed life and then you're going to hurt my people. Jeremiah, a prophet, rise up and says, look here, y'all been lying too much. After Jeremiah tells them that they're going to be in Babylon captivity for 70 years. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. They're going to be in Babylon captivity for 70 years. One prophet comes up and says, Jeremiah's lying. We only going to be there for 2 years. The lies just won't stop. And I feel that if the people of God read the Bible, we will understand that false prophets ain't nothing new.
Amen.
People been lying about God for a long time. But you got to let God tune your ears and your heart. So when you hear the truth, what Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Another they won't follow. They know my voice. So because Israel wants to hear what they want to hear, that's how false prophets get away with things. The people here want to hear what they want to hear. They got tickling ears. So he says, look here, y'all only going to be gone for 2 years. And he's coming back and he's going to give you all the valuables back. Just lying to the people.
Yeah.
So there's so much corruption in the land. God got to deal with it. God has to break Israel. Amen. Why is that important? Because you got to break certain things for things to work. Amen. Yeah, it is important. Israel is in corruption, and God says, if I'm going to fix this corruption in Israel, it's got out of hand, the false prophets, the lying, the people who are worshiping idols, I got to break Israel. I got to break it so it can be useful and so I can fix it. Okay. I love eggs, praise God, amen. I love eggs. I love deviled eggs. I love she called angel eggs, amen. I love deviled eggs. I love scrambled eggs. I love over easy eggs. I like boiled eggs. And while eggs are good, one thing remains the same. I can't use none until the egg is cracked, amen. Until the egg is broken, it has no purpose. And God says some things ain't going to work in your life. I got to break it so you can understand its purpose. It doesn't matter what you think. If I don't break you from this, you're going to keep doing it. If I don't break you from this, you're going to keep falling for the okey-doke. If I don't break you from this, and we get mad at God when God breaks us, and all he's doing is trying to free us. That's all he's doing. Israel so jacked up right now. He said, I got to fix this corruption. So they're facing so much backlash. So Jeremiah says, look here, we're in 29 now where I'm starting. And he's like, it's so much mess that I'm tired of prophesying to them. I'm just going to write a letter. They don't listen to me anyway. They do what they want to do. I don't want to hear no rebuttal. You heard too many rebuttals. I'm sick. I don't want to hear no more rebuttals. So I'm going to write a letter so they can't respond back to me. So Jeremiah begins to write this letter, y'all. Look at Jeremiah 29, 4 and 7. Look at what he says. This is what the Lord of heaven armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan a stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. They then find spouses for them that you may have many grandchildren multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. So what God is trying to teach Israel, watch this. Can you be committed in a crisis?
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Ooh, Lord.
Jesus.
That's good.
He's trying to teach them, can you be committed to me even in a crisis?
Wow.
Yeah. Y'all didn't want to start over. I told you I can start over. That right now, they look good for y'all. And just like the potter took that wheel, that clay, and made something new, I can do that. I gave y'all a chance after chance, but that's not what y'all wanted for your life. Amen.
Yeah.
It's like a father almost when I got to whoop my child, and then I got to say, you know what? Come here. I still love you. Amen. Yeah. I got to whoop your butt because you're out of line. I got to get you in order, but come here. I'm going to hug you afterward. We can talk about it because I love you. I want you to understand it ain't that I hate you. I'm trying to get you in order. God's trying to get Israel in order. Look at what he says. Y'all about to be here for 70 years. That's wild.
Wow.
70 years.
Wow.
But he say this.
Wow.
Don't waste the season. I know it's not what you want. I know it's not the plan you had. I know you thought it would go another way, but I'm still God and I'm in control. Don't waste the season that you're in. He tells them what? Learn and plan to stay. My God. What season are you in? Are you learning? So sometimes God got to keep you in that season so you can pass out of that season. Because if God gives us things too early, it won't work for that season. He can't give me this when I'm not ready to handle this. We pray and ask God, God, I want this, and God, I want that. And God says, if I give it to you, you'll kill yourself. If I give it to you, you'll be in jail. If I give it to you, you will mess up all your relationships. You won't burn every bridge you got. No. You got to learn and plan to stay. Thank God for the season you're in. What can I learn from it instead of complaining about it?
Good.
Am I committed in the crisis? He says, plant gardens, marry, and have children, and then have them find spouses. Yeah, you get your grandchildren together. Y'all going to be here 70 years. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Some of y'all ain't going back to Israel.
Yeah.
You 70 now. You ain't going to live to be 140. You're not going back to Israel. That's not your plight for life. I'm sorry. I had a different plan for y'all, but y'all chose y'all pack. But guess what? Just because y'all chose this, don't mess up for your grandchildren.
Yeah, come on.
Just because you're not going to get it, don't mess up for your children and your grandchildren. Okay. Israel is like a spoiled child right now. They're like spoiled brats, amen. We know what a spoiled brat is, right? So Israel is like a spoiled brat. They're like a triple A. They're addicted to sin, don't care how they act, and don't want no accountability. My God, that's a terrible place to live in. They're addicted to sin, and then don't care how they act, and then on top of that, can't nobody tell them nothing. Now they want no accountability. And God says this, if I don't deal with this, it's going to fall on your children. And then your children's children. And then all you're going to have is a whole bunch of heathens and hell raisers and rebels. No, no, no. Tell them about me. Tell them why y'all here. Tell them why King Nebuchadnezzar came. Tell them because y'all disobeyed me. And so when they know, when life is giving them all kind of problems and going crazy, one thing I ain't going to do is turn my back on God. Well, no matter how bad it gets, I'm still rolling with God. I'm trusting his plan over my own. So Israel is out of control. So he has to remind them again. Let's look at Jeremiah 29 and 10.
Good.
This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. I didn't say 17. 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. And I will bring you home again. Oh, my God. Woo, God, I love God right here because that you got to think about it. They got to be tripping because they're about to get sent away for 70 years.
Yeah.
That can't be a good feeling. But God says, look here, you still going to receive my grace.
Yeah.
Because there's still some babies here they're going to get to go back home. There's still some young folk here they're going to get to go back home. Everybody ain't going, but my grace is still with you. So I need you to understand this. Your captivity isn't going to be for eternity.
Yeah.
I need you to understand that. Okay. Your errors that you made aren't going to be everlasting. I need you to understand this.
Yeah.
Your rebellion doesn't forfeit your redemption. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah, I need you to get that. Amen. Your insubordination doesn't make your situation immutable. Amen. That means it can't change. No, I know you were insubordinate to me, but that don't mean your situation can't change.
Wow.
Your insurrection, your disobedience doesn't have you in the state of being invariable, which means not changing. What are you saying about God's grace? My punishment is not permanent. I gotta thank God because my punishment is not permanent. I know what I did was wrong. I deserve this. I deserve to be in bondage. I deserve to be gone. But even in that, God still give me grace to make it out. We've all made mistakes. But if you trust me and obey me, God is saying the future generations don't have to reap for your mistakes. I'm going to raise them babies up.
Period.
I'm going to give them the life that you dreamed about, that you prayed for, that your lineage will be blessed in the earth. But you got to trust me. Where we started, y'all, 29 and 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. God is saying, I'm intentional.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the plans I have for your life.
Yes.
He loves us, which means, watch this, he will not make us pick up his plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God knows the plans, but because he loves us so much, he don't make us pick up his plans. Hold up, Pastor. I don't get that. God loves me, but he won't make me pick up his plans. No. Because he loves you and he wants to give you your heart desire. So if your heart desire ain't to be part of his plan, he ain't going to force you to be part of his plan. Because that's not what you want. He want to know that you love him like he love you. That he love, you understand what I'm saying? That you got to pick me to be part of my plan. I got a plan for you. I got a future for you. But it's only going to happen if you want it. I'm not going to take you up to heaven dragging and kicking and mad and upset when you wanted to live a life of sin. I'm not going to carry you to the promised land when you don't want to be here, when you want to worship idols and you want to live how you want to live and do what you want to do. Why would I do that to you and force you? That's abuse. That ain't love. I'm a God of love. And if I love you and you love me, then we're going to be together in harmony.
Yes, yes.
But I'm not going to have you here with it. Have you ever been somewhere you just didn't want to be at?
Woo!
Woo. Jesus. You don't want to be there. You walk in and ready to go. I don't even know why I came. I should have just said no. I had no business saying yeah. I should have just said no. I don't want to be here. Walk in, attitude, and ready to go. Why are we here? And God says, if I bring you with me and you don't want to be with me, that's how you're going to feel.
Yeah. Oh,
That's how you gonna feel, because you don't really want to be with me. I love you, but you don't want me, so I got a plan for you, but you got to pick my plan. So what he's saying is that when you follow my plan, it proves that you love me. Because we all have the option to deviate at any given time. Nobody had to get up and come to church this morning. I didn't have to come and preach a sermon. I didn't have to study my Bible this week. I didn't have to pray. Everybody has a choice. None of us have to follow God's plan. We all have a choice. So when I choose my priorities, when I make a decision to worship God, when I make a decision to pray, when I make a decision to invite God into my life, when I make a decision to repent for my sins, when I make a decision, God is saying, yes, I can use them mightily. Because they want my plans. See, my will, just what Jesus says this, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. When he prays, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want your plans. Regardless, because whatever I want, if I get your plans, they better. Okay. Y'all, I don't know if you're feeling me. Okay. I wanted to be a rapper. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted that. That's what I really wanted. I really wanted that in my life. But I thank God I'm a pastor.
That's it.
Because if I could have got that and had all the money and all the women and all that stuff, my soul would be damaged.
God, we thank you.
My children would be damaged. It would be so much damage from that decision. So all God then says, yes, now you bent your heart towards me, I give you another way to do what I put in your heart.
That's it.
Another way to do it that's part of my plans that changes people's lives for the better, not the worse.
That's
good. Wow. So we all know the scripture. It says God's plans for us is good. But Pastor, I don't always feel that way. How's God's plans? They say he knows the plans he has for me. Not of evil, not disaster, but to give me future and hope. How's God's plans good when there's death around me? That alone, I don't understand, because death is around me. We got to understand. I told you we all have the choice to deviate from God's plan. God did not create robots. From the first man, from Adam and Eve, he did not create robots. He created people that could think and have their own decisions, and he wanted them to love him for him.
Come on.
So because they ate from the tree, death has entered our world. There's no way around it.
Come on.
We all have a beginning day and an end date. Yeah. But I do know this.
Yeah.
Sometimes the decisions you make that day longer or make that day sooner.
That's real.
That ain't God all the time. I can't live like a heathen and do all kind of evil stuff. Live by the gun and think I ain't going to die by the gun. And then we get so upset with God sometimes and mad at God when God's saying, that's their choices. See, when you're born, you look like your parents. When you die, you look like your choices. I'll let somebody catch that next week. So. If that's true, if God's plans for us are really good, Pastor, why is there calamity? Why is there all kind of problems? Because of our choices. Some of the stuff we're dealing with ain't God or the devil. It's us. Amen. Praise God. Lights and walls. Amen. It ain't God. It ain't devil. It's me. I got some issues. I got some problems that I need to fix in me. I need to be more accountable. I need to make better decisions. It ain't even the devil ain't even tempting me. I just want to do it. So we got to understand that God, I need you to help me in my decision making and my choices. Isaiah 55 helps us with that. Amen. Y'all want to hear it? Amen. I hope you do. Look at this, y'all. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
My God.
Our human mind, as great as it is, I mean, we have some geniuses. I believe all of us are gifted in our own right. I believe all of us have some kind of thing that we're really good at, that we can be exceptional at, and God has blessed us with these bonds. But guess what? They don't compare to God. It trips me out when people are atheists and want to argue all these things about God. And well, I'm like, how can you think your human mind can be more than God?
Come on. Help us, God.
I don't understand it. Atheism is just kind of weird to me. It's like, if you don't like God, why are you talking about him so much? If you don't exist, why are you talking about him? Why is that your favorite topic of conversation if you don't believe he don't exist? Amen. It just trips me out about them. But this is what God says about human wisdom. He says, this is why I use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. Yeah, God's so dope. He says, look here. I use foolish things to confound the wise. I let boats go into the ocean, and they got paddles and oars and make it across. But a boat like a Titanic, they got the best steel, the best everything, don't make it. I use foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That they think something that can't be done. That's when I love to step in and show them they really don't know nothing. Yeah. God says this, I use the weak things of this world to overcome the strong. Amen. Yeah, I love that. God says, I use weak things to overcome strong. I love it when the score is 80 to 20 and it looks like it's all over, so I can jump in and put my little stuff on it and show it how it's supposed to go when people got my back. Amen. I love that. Okay. God loves to show the foolish things to overcome the strong. He used a man who stuttered and couldn't talk, show up with a stick, and tell the greatest king on earth, God said, let my people go. And guess what? His people got to go. Amen. I use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Okay. I use the whore named Rahab. Yeah. I use the whore. Israel was about to go to the promised land, and they got caught up. And I used the whore. I said, she said, come in here. Stay with me. We know y'all coming. Just save me and my family. So now Rahab, who was a whore, thot, prostitute, whatever y'all want to call her. Amen. Her name is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Okay. I used a man named Gideon. He had to go to war with the Midianites. And he had to go to war. And Gideon was ready to war, y'all. He ready to go to war. His army was 32,000. I said, that's too many. Amen. His army would cut it down. I said, that's too many. Matter of fact, Gideon, do me a favor. Slice 32,000 to 300. I know it don't make sense to you. I know it looks crazy. I know I stacked against you, but you got me. I love making the foolish things of the world look strong to the wise. Amen. Okay. A teenage boy who had a heart for me. He was a small teenage boy. Had to face a 9-foot giant. Amen. The king was scared. All the men of Israel were scared. Nobody wanted any parts with Goliath. Everybody was scared. But David said, hold up. You disrespecting my God. I don't play that. Amen. Give me a slingshot and 5 stones. I don't need the king's armor. I don't need the king's sword. I don't need no backup. I got my God. Amen. David shows up, kills a 9-foot giant, cuts his head off. Who thought a young boy could ever do that? God likes making the foolish things overcome the wise. The weak overcome the strong. Okay. He let Daniel and his 3 friends. See, in Jeremiah, Daniel goes to Babylon. Daniel is a teenage boy. He goes to Babylon. He part of the exile. And his 3 friends got to go to a fiery furnace. King never Nebuchadnezzar, who took the people there, said, ain't no God but me. Y'all gonna bow down to this statue today. Y'all gonna learn today. He put them in a fiery furnace, and they said they put in 3 people before people showed up. And one looked like the Son of God. And they ropes burnt off, but their clothes didn't burn up. I'm gonna show you, King Nebuchadnezzar, that I am God. You can't do what you want to do with my people. Daniel, who's in Babylon, who's an old man now. Daniel, who's in Babylon, and they sent him to a lion's den because he was praying and loving God. He was doing what was right and still got sent to death. But I love this. God said, I'm not gonna take you out the lion's den. Nah, you gonna go to the lion's den. I'm not gonna let them eat you or scratch you. Y'all missed that, amen. Yeah, and it wasn't that the lion just didn't eat them. They didn't even scratch him, amen. They didn't even touch him. The angel closed the lion's mouth, and them same people that tried to get Daniel caught up had to get thrown in that same lion's den. Sometimes God put them same people in the trap. They try to put you in, amen. I love God that he can put them people in the traps when they should have trapped me. So God is so good. So he specializes in this, and the most beautiful thing he ever did, he let a virgin girl get pregnant, amen. He let a virgin girl get overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. A virgin got overshadowed, and he told her, you're going to have a son. His name is Jesus. He's going to save his people from his sins. That's what he told her. He was born, lived the perfect life, died for us. And if we want to get to heaven, all we got to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Good. That he died for our sins, and we get a place back in the kingdom of God. Because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens is above the earth, as high as I am above you. You ain't going to understand everything I'm doing. You're not going to understand every move I'm making. You're not supposed to know. Because if I showed it to you, you might try to take a different route. If I showed it to you, you might quit halfway. If I showed it to you, you might give up. He says, no. I need you to just trust my plans. I got you. So because God has the best plans for our lives and his thoughts are not our thoughts, nothing God does is counterproductive. Amen. Nothing God does is counterproductive. Amen. You know, counterproductive is like I'm taking one thing. It's like I'm taking one thing and trying to replace it with something, but I'm not replacing nothing.
Come on.
I'm taking something, trying to replace it with something else, and I ain't doing nothing. You know, people, you know, like when you tell your kids to clean their room and look busy. Oh, okay, you just took that shirt and put it over there. You took that bag and put it over there. You took them shoes and put it over there. Room's still a mess. What you doing? Counterproductive sometimes, or maybe it's my kids, amen. I'm telling myself, so I don't know, but they just counterproductive sometimes. I'm like, what you doing? You didn't do nothing but move the stuff to another part of the room. It's still in the room. Put it up. So nothing God does, y'all, is counterproductive. And because we can't see his plans, we get so frustrated with God. We want to give up. We want to quit. We want to question. We mad. And God is saying, I know the plans I have for you. I know.
Yeah.
Is that enough for you to trust him? Is God saying, I know enough for you to submit to him?
Wow.
Is God saying, I know what I'm doing? Or do we want to have our hands on the wheel? Is he our co-pilot or the pilot? Is he driving a car, or is it Jesus take the wheel, or I got my hand on the wheel too? Or you put your hand on the wheel, but I got my foot on the gas and brake? We're all just going to sit in the back seat and say, God, have your way. Because nothing he does is counterproductive. Look at Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, y'all. Rain and snow come down from the sky. They do not go back again until they water the earth. They make it sprout and grow so that it produces seed for farmers and food for people to eat. My word, which comes from my mouth, is like the rain and snow.
Wow.
It does not come back to me without results. It will accomplish whatever I want and achieve whatever I send it to do. Yeah, I miss y'all shout that time. I got that one, huh? I got that one, okay. Amen, we're about to go home, man. Amen, look at this. God's word describes something, a process that scientists call the water cycle or the hydrological cycle. This is what they call it. It's a continuous cycle where water evaporates. It travels into air and then becomes part of a cloud. Then it falls down to earth as precipitation, and then it evaporates again. So this cycle never ends. Y'all probably learned about science class in some grade, white kids. Y'all learned about that. That it never ends, this continuous cycle. So God focuses on the precipitation part in this piece, amen. He says rain and snow just don't come down for no reason. They make seeds grow in the ground.
Thank you for it, Jesus.
Everything God does has a purpose. He said this cycle that I created, that you think is just something cute. No, no, no. I need rain and snow to come down so the seeds can grow. That's why when it's a drought, it's a dangerous time. Because the farmers' crops are not growing. When it's a drought, sometimes sin causes a drought. Y'all know that, right? Amen. We got to pray for the rains and for God to come in to hear that rain. So he says, look here, when I'm coming with rain and snow, it's making seed grow for the farmers so you can have food to eat. Think about that. So when I say something, my God, when God speak, when I speak a word over your life, when I speak, that's why I be doing prayer and word. I try to encourage people in the word to pray God's word back to him. This is the verse that God gave me for prayer word, because he says it will never, my word will never come back to me without results. So sometimes I only want to pray what I got to say. I'm going to figure out how I feel or what I'm dealing with, and I'm going to pray God's word back to him. Because it's not, it ain't got to come back with something.
Yeah.
It ain't coming back without results.
Yeah.
See, God has results for us, but are you willing to go through what you need to go through to receive the results? We quit. We give up. And he says, nah, it will accomplish whatever I want and whatever I send it to do, which means nothing stops God's plans.
Yes, thank you, God.
God's plans are unstoppable.
My God.
I seen this crazy stuff just pop up in your social media, but this person was speeding on the highway, y'all, and unnecessarily swerved around another car, head-on collision with an 18-wheeler. It folded that car up and like it folded the car like this almost. All you could see the windshield was busted out. All you could see was the windshield. Highway stops. A woman walks up to the car. The guy climbs out of the windshield.
My God. Yes.
By looking at that, how he escaped death. The car is smashed. It was a small car, 18-wheeler, so much impact. I mean, it was like enough for a child to crawl through that windshield. And he walked out. See, if God said you're going to live, you're going to live. It don't matter what anybody got to say about it. It don't matter. If God says it, it settles it. So now I got to get in my mind, what did he say? And how do I make sure I'm a part of what he says?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is it, y'all. Join 29, 12, 14, 8. We done. Then you will call to me. You will come and pray to me. And I will hear you. When you look for me, you will find me. When you wholeheartedly seek me, I will let you find me, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. God saying, look here. The way to have my word reign in your life. You got to call on me. Sometimes God waiting on the invitation. See, God be calling us, but we don't be picking up. God be calling us, and we be like, God, I'm busy right now. God be calling us, we be like, God, it ain't time yet, I'm still young. God be calling us, say, wait, God, I'm still over here, I like to do this. Holler at me about 4 or 5 years. And God says, no, I need you to call on me now.
Now is the time.
Then when you come, pray. Bring your request known to God. Bring your heart to me. Bring your issue, whatever you're dealing with, bring it to me. Because I will hear you. When you look for me, you will find me. I told y'all, if God ain't speaking, that's because we're not seeking. When you look for me, you will find me. He's there. When you wholeheartedly seek me, wholeheartedly. See, God's into priorities, y'all.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm done with this. God won't accept being number two.
Come on.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wherever listen, he is on the totem pole.
Number one.
He won't accept that.
Yeah.
Because he knows who he is.
Yeah.
See, when you know who you are, my God.
Jesus.
And you know your worth.
My God.
When you know who you are, know your worth, you move different.
Yeah.
So God knows he take your spirit away. Ain't nobody breathing on earth. God breathed into man and made him a living spirit. So God breathed. If God takes his spirit away, all of us on earth will drop dead. He know his worth. That you're nothing without me, but I'm still God without you. He know his worth. And that's our Father who shows us who he is and how he acts. Why not us kind of operate in the same way? See, sometimes our hearts get all tore up and broken because we don't know our worth.
That's it.
We get all broken up. This ain't in my notes. This Holy Spirit talk. This ain't in my notes. God just dropped this in me. We get so messed up and so jacked up because we don't know our worth. And see, when you don't know your worth, that's when enemies come in to lie, to cheat, to deceive. To confuse. And see, we can't do that with God because he knows his worth. God knows if you for real, if you love him for real.
Man.
He knows if you love him. He knows if you're seeking him. He knows if you want to be a part of him. He knows if you do and if you don't. So if I to tap into what he is doing, why wouldn't he give me discernment to keep my heart safe? to keep my heart from being hurt, to keep my heart from being broken. He says, I will let you find me. If you seek him wholeheartedly, he will let you find me, declares the Lord. So whenever your plans don't seem to be adding up, whether you're overwhelmed or you're under pressure, you got to find God. Amen. Seek him and let him run your life. Because it'll be the best decision you've ever made, because his plans line up with his will, which lead us to living our best life. Amen. Can you got a praise in this place? Amen. God, we just thank you, oh God, for your plans.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God knows everything. I thank God that he knows that we don't have to have that pressure of having to figure it out tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, he said, Jesus said, worry about today.
Yeah.
Today got enough problems of its own. We worried about June 15th right now. Worried about it. Something going on June 15th, we worried. And he says, what you worried for? Today has enough problems of today. Just get through today. And trust God. Just like you got through the thousand days before, he gonna get you through another one. But you got to trust his plan. First way in trusting God's plan, y'all, is salvation. It's giving your heart to Jesus. It's trusting God's plan. So if you need to be saved and give your heart to Christ, I want to encourage you today, my brother, my sister, to give your heart to Christ. That is trusting God's plan, because he put his son in place to save us, right? That's what he did. He gave us a way. He put his son on the cross to save us from our sins. That's part of God's plan. Another part of intentional God's plan is being part of his church. I remember some witness and talking to a young man. He was like, well, I've been going to church my whole life. I'm kind of good. I don't feel like I need to go to church no more. I said, that's cool. You feel like that. I mean, you can feel how you want to feel. But God designed the church, not man. So what you're basically saying is that, God, I can still do this my own way. I can get with you and keep my relationship vibrant with you on my terms and how I want to do it. I got to tell you, that's just dangerous.
Yeah.
We don't get to choose how we, you know his worth.
Yeah.
He set it up. We just follow what he set up. So if you need to be, if you need to reconnect with the church, if you're saved, but Pastor, I just need the church home. I need to get back under a covering. I need that. We are here to help you in that decision today. Amen. Or if you just need special prayer, I don't know what you're going through or where you're at in your life, but if you need special prayer, whatever the case may be, we are here to help you. We don't want you going back home the same way you came. Amen. If you came down, we need to see you leave out of here with joy. We need to pray with you. We need to talk to you, whatever the case may be, because God has a plan for your life, and God loves you dearly. He loves us all. So whatever you stand in need of, we are here to help. If you need to be saved, if you are saved but just need a church home, or you just need special prayer, whatever you stay in and need of, trust and believe, God knows and God cares. And God's will is that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prosper. That's God's will, amen. We want to stay in God's will. So whatever you stand in the need of, we just trust and believe for God to do what God does, amen. Whatever it may be, amen. Whatever you need from God, your ladder will be greater. Whatever you need, if you need something from God, whatever you need, we're standing in the gap, praying for one another. Amen, amen. Whatever it may be, we're trusted and believing God to move on your behalf, amen. If there's anybody else, amen, as we prepare to pray, I want to encourage you to be praying. If you're out in the crowd, please pray. We believe in the power of prayer and what God wants to do, amen. What God wants to do in our lives, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, God, for your plans. I thank you, God, for we should be grateful that God includes us in his plans, y'all. Because the the way we operate sometimes, the way we act, for God still to incorporate us in his plans, y'all, I'm grateful. I know I had no business being part of his plan. No business being part of his plan. But he saw fit to give us grace. So whatever you stand in need of, amen, we're going to go with those that she's praying, amen. But I just want to make sure, amen, I know we don't prolong, but we want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity, amen. And if you feel you need, only you and God know what you need, amen. We're just here to help and move as his agents, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Sprinter, you want to step over here? Amen. As we pray, amen. Ask the congregation to be encouraged and pray, amen, as we pray for these individuals today. Amen. Father God, I just lift you up, oh God. I thank you and praise you, oh God, for your grace and your mercy, oh God. Where will we be without your grace, oh God? I thank you, O God, for prayer today, Father God. That prayer is something that we can never have too much of, amen. There's a lot of things in life we can have too much of. One thing is not, it's prayer, oh God. So I thank you, O God, for the ability, oh God, to be here to pray, standing in the gap for these individuals, oh God. So I ask, oh God, you cover them with your blood, oh God. I ask, oh God, you bless Sabrina, oh God, Miss Marsha, amen, and these beautiful babies before me, Father God. I pray, oh God, for your hedge of protection to stay around them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We declare and decree, Father God, victory over their lives, Father God. I ask, oh God, in this season, oh God, you continue, oh God, to show up and show out, Father God. I thank you, oh God, as we submit to your plans, oh God. You begin to give us glimpses and pictures, oh God, of what you have for us and what you have for us to do and what you're trying to do in us and through us, oh God, to uplift and build your kingdom, oh God. So I pray, oh God, in this season of their lives, oh God, as they have their children, I pray for Chrissy as well, Father God, that you help them, oh God, all our babies, oh God, to cover them with your blood, oh God. I thank you, God, for these women, oh God. I pray, oh God, you continue to be godly examples, oh God. I pray, Father God, you give them the strength they need to carry on, oh God. I pray, Father God, you give them the wisdom, the understanding, oh God. God, I pray, Father God, you continue, oh God, to open up, oh God, creating them, oh God, a clean heart, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Open up space, oh God, and make room for you in their lives like never before, Father God. I'm believing, oh God, for an overflow in their lives, oh God, and it will not only come to them, oh God, but it will trickle down to their children and grandchildren, oh God. That overflow will come from you, oh God, as you build them up and pour your spirit into them, oh God, and their plans align with your plans, which means their will aligns with your will, which means it shall be done. We stand on you and your word. We believe it and we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. We got a praise in this place. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we thank you. 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 Amen. And so, Buddy Thomas is ministering. Amen. We want to stay in prayer mode for one another and give God some praise. Will you give God some praise in this place? I'm just grateful for who God is and his continued love for us. His continued love for us. It's amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing. Amen. So we thank God as we lift up one another. Amen. And continue to go on a good path of faith. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen, amen. God bless you, bless you, bless you. Speak faith, encourage to speak faith, amen. Speak faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, y'all, amen. You gotta walk by faith and not by sight. Part of trusting God's plan is you gotta believe it before you can see it. You gotta believe it before you can see it. Whatever his plan is for your life, it gotta exist in your heart and exist in your mind first, amen. And then let him order the steps. I said the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And you got to let God order your steps in this season. Amen. Got to let God order your steps in this season. We speak life. We speak blessings. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. We speak, oh God, only what you can do, oh God. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for your healings. I thank you for your deliverance. I thank you, oh God, for what you're doing. We honor you and we praise you, oh God. I declare everybody under the sound of my voice blessed. I declare everybody under the sound of my voice, oh God, their children blessed. I declare us, oh God, a blessed church, oh God, a blessed people, oh God, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. I declare us to be blessed, oh God, that everything we do will honor you, oh God, and you will help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, oh God. Thank you.